This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Season 20, Episode 27. This is Writing Excuses.
The Lens of Why.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Howard.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Mark.
We are joined by our special guest, Mark Ashiro, here on Navigator of the Seas.
Mm-hmm. You will have already been listening to Mark on some of our earlier episodes at the beginning of the year. Because we time travel, we haven't recorded those yet, so we don't know what we've talked about.
We're quite sure they're awesome.
Brilliant. They are
brilliant. I'm going to tank those ones on purpose now.
Mark, will you take a moment and tell us about yourself?
Of course. I am primarily a young adult and middle grade author. I have 7 published books, many more to come. I'm also very lucky in that I am a multi-genre author and I get to genre hop. So I like talking deep dives into genre, structure, all things nerdy.
Outstanding. Well, let's talk for a moment about the lens of why. This is a category we're using to describe tone and frame, authorial intent, theme and meaning, all kind of wrapped up under the question of, Why did you write this book?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you write this book? And I want to begin by focusing a little bit on just theme and meaning, because I always struggle with those. So I'm going to ask this question to my fellow hosts. How do you differentiate between theme and meaning?
This is my own personal take, and I think about both of those as things that are not necessarily for me. So theme for me is something that people who are writing essays or reviews are about, that it's big sweeping arcs of stuff. Meaning for me is what the reader brings to it. There's stuff about the book that means stuff to me, but it's often a personal thing that it never surfaces for the reader. So I tend to, when I'm going into this, approach them as questions. What is the question that I am asking? And I think that that is essentially what people are talking about with theme. That, like, I will, the novel that I'm working on right now, the question that I'm asking is, how many times can you lie to someone you love? And it's not my intention to answer that question. My intention is to explore it. And I think that's what people are talking about when they talk about theme. But for me, theme, like you, Howard, is an amorphous thing that, because I also see people like, yes, thematically, they've used the color blue throughout this. I'm like, or they liked it. It was
okay,
on
I'm
sale.
I need to one-trick pony this. My one trick is metaphors. Theme is how many licks does it get? Does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? And meaning is the owl doesn't care about the question. The owl is just going to bite the Tootsie Pop. Meaning doesn't answer the question necessarily. Meaning provides an answer in a different way. And theme asks the question without necessarily providing an answer.
I think in another way you've demonstrated my thinking here, which is with your metaphor, you've used a metaphor that kids these days
won't get,
and so you've got a meaning that is important and meaningful to you, but they're going to bring a completely different meaning to it when they read it. What are you thinking, Mark?
So my way into thinking this as well is very similar to yours. Is when I'm starting a project, it almost immediately always has a meaning to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is the reason why I want to write this. This is what I think is interesting. I don't often know the theme until much, much later, because the theme will often divert very much from the meaning that I intended or the mm-hmm. meaning that I have for it. I think it's also interesting to, as someone who is writing Kidlet and is constantly interacting with readers,
mm-hmm.
how often the readers, these kids, will go on long 5-minute tangents to me about what this book is about or what this story is about. And I'm just sitting there nodding my head like, that's totally what I intended. And seeing the way that someone can read something and find 20,000 different things you never intended, you never thought of. And so for me, that's meaning. That's where mm-hmm. meaning is. It is also fun, though, when you have those experiences where someone does see the theme that you have written in there that is intentional. But yeah, they don't always match up. I think it is fun, though, I will say, when they to your meaning and the theme match up and someone catches it. Those are the like that beautiful yeah. trifecta of moments you have.
Yeah. At breakfast today, Kate McKean said, I asked the question.
Yeah.
She's going to be on some episodes with us this year. Mm-hmm. She will have already been on episodes with us this year.
Time travel.
Sorry, I keep forgetting to use the future has been tense. Said, oh yeah, theme is what the author puts into the book, meaning is what the reader gets out of the book, which is also a convenient definition. But Dan, you were going to say something.
I just thought I'm really fascinated by this conversation because I think I'm the opposite of you, Mark, entirely. I think about theme a lot. Theme to me is, what is this about?
Mm-hmm.
What am I putting into it? I can't think of meaning. I can't think of any book I've written where I know what it means. Like that is a completely foreign concept to me. What does this book mean? I don't know. Whereas the theme, what is this about? What am I trying to say with it? That's something that I do think about very consciously.
Yeah, I think about, and I think this is why I liked the umbrella term of the why. It's like the why of the book. Why is this important to me? Why is this a book I want to tell? Why is this a journey that my characters want to go on? Because theme does have so many different meanings for so many different people.
We have in a couple of weeks an episode about authorial intent. And for me, the Venn diagram of, you know, theme and meaning and authorial intent, depending on what angle I'm looking at it, it's just a coffee coaster. No, it's just one circle. They all fit in the same thing. And so I struggle a lot with these definitions. Help. Help me.
We all thought you were going somewhere with that.
I am going somewhere. I am asking
the question.
I thought
you were providing us with guidance, and you're like, yes. I need the guidance.
So this is something that a metaphor that I use when I'm talking about a structure, but also the relationship with the audience. And I have probably talked about this on an episode at some point, but hello, we're going to revisit. That when you're thinking about a story structure, that it's a picture that's a container. It contains whatever it is that you want to tell. Pictures come in a bunch of different shapes, and you can put anything in them you want. You can put gazpacho for reasons. You can put a Pinot Noir. You can put apple cider. You can put anything into that picture you want. Depending on the genre you're in, the pictures may have different shapes. You may decide to become a glassblower and make your own. That's the story as you intended. When the reader comes to you, each reader brings their own vessel. And when you are looking at the vessel, a Pinot Noir glass is designed to shape the way you are experiencing Pinot Noir. So it hits your palate in a specific way, brings out all of these bouquets and things. So if I have a Pinot Noir in my pitcher and I pour it into your Pinot Noir glass, you are experiencing the story as I intended. You're getting my theme and meaning. But if you come to me with a red solo cup, you're still going to enjoy that. If I've got hot apple cider and you come to me with a ceramic mug, perfect. We got a good match there. If you come to me with that Riedel glass, which was so good for the Pinot Noir, it's likely to shatter from the hot apple cider, which is not my intention. And so for me, when I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about who am I writing for? But I'm also not, like, I can't also think about, oh, I have to think about every possible vessel that may come to me. Mm-hmm. So when I'm thinking about that meaning, like for me, the meaning is the way the reader experiences the story. And sometimes, as Mark was talking about, they do line up perfectly. So this is why I found that if I think about the, what question am I asking? Why am I telling this? Who am I telling it for? That those give me measurable things for myself that I can use to make decisions. I can measure against the, is this going to make so-and-so laugh? Then yes. And that's my intention. That's my, the meaning for this moment. Great. Then I can measure against that. If I want a laugh here and it's not going to make them laugh, other people may also laugh at that point. But also sometimes you put in like an in-joke that is for one very mm-hmm. specific cup.
I want to jump in here because now you just triggered sort of a memory that might help with differentiating between theme and meaning. So my first book, Anger is a Gift, I wrote a secondary character who is a transracial adoptee, like myself. If you were listening and unfamiliar with that term, it is someone who is adopted out of their ethnic and racial culture and into another one. It usually described kids of color who are adopted by white people. So I have a white adoptive mom and a Japanese Hawaiian adoptive father. And so I wanted to explore a dynamic I have almost never seen in fiction. Because usually adoption narratives are just, there is an adoption. It's usually not transracial. You might see foster care, orphans or whatnot. But that specific experience is mm-hmm. so specific, you don't see it. So I wrote this character who is dealing with being Latina, who is adopted into a white family and the privilege that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my theme. The themes of privilege and how this person who is a person of color is in a very white society. Not only that, but in the neighborhood she lives in, and then how she interacts with her friends who are from a poorer neighborhood. There's my theme. What I'm talking about, what's the authorial intent? The second day this book was out, I was doing a book event with Jason Reynolds in DC, and a man came up to me and said, I read this whole book last night and I loved it, but I need you to know, like, it was an older white gentleman. He's like, me and my husband adopted, this young black girl. And I think I need to, like, talk to her because I don't think I've raised her right. Oof. And I'm, like, holding his book open and I'm like, who do I make it out to? Like, but that man got the theme, but it had a different meaning. Because, and I love what you're talking about. Like,
and it had a very powerful meaning.
Very powerful meaning. But also I was like, that's not it. This is not for you. I was not writing for you. But that is the thing where the liquid I'm pouring out went into, I won't say the wrong cup,
because
I don't want to make that judgment call, but a cup that shattered.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating to me because I'm like, I love that you did get the theme of this child's parents did not treat them well. Whoa, that is not the meaning I intended at all. You know, sorry if you happen to be listening to this and had an existential crisis for the last 6 years, but that's interesting because it's someone who understands the theme, but then mm-hmm. the meaning is still different for them.
Yeah.
But if that individual came away from your book and what they came away with first and foremost was, I need to have a conversation with my adoptive daughter about transracial adoption and parenting, I don't see parents having conversations with their children as a bad thing.
Oh yeah, no.
I would not say that cup shattered. I think that someone got meaning from it that you didn't expect and had a very powerful experience that you didn't intend, but that was probably a net good.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah, I also don't think that sometimes a cup shattering is always a bad thing because sometimes you need a different cup.
Yeah.
The thing that I was thinking about was a conversation that I had with Elizabeth Baer years ago. It's like one of those conversations where you're sitting around at a convention and someone drops just a one sentence thing that blows your mind for the rest of time. And she said that a story was something that asked a question and a polemic was something that answered it. Mm. And so when you were talking about the questions that you were asking, how does she relate to the people that she knows? How does this impact? Those are all questions.
Yeah.
And what you're showing is one way in which it might be experienced, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you're also showing multiple ways, multiple answers to that. And that is, I think, where you, for me, the thing that thinking about theme in that way, as a series of questions as opposed to a series of answers, is that it allows space for the reader. And I think anytime you can allow space for the reader to come into the story, anytime you can invite them in, that you do have the potential for a more powerful meaning.
And on the subject of space for the reader, our advertisers don't actually read this, but we're going to give them some space.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy 2 or 3 select major appliances. And when you buy 4 or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
I have an experience I want to share about when I thought, or when I look at it now and think back at it. And I think that learning my theme, learning my meaning, caused me to change what I was writing. Early Schlock Mercenary, I did not realize, this is going to sound a little silly, I know, I did not realize that I was writing social satire. Once I realized I was writing social satire, a lot of lights came on, and now I had, as a writer, I had a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning. I knew what certain themes were going to be. My question for you, my fellow hosts, have you ever had a similar moment of discovery where you realized, oh, wait, this is what this means. This is what my theme is. And you've changed your course.
Mark, I just watched you nod all the way through that. Mm-hmm.
And I love this too, especially because it was for a book that was contemporary and the theme could only manifest as speculative fiction. So my most recent YA book, Into the Light, is a secret speculative fiction book where the speculative fiction twist does not happen to like 325 pages in. And then you realize you've been reading speculative fiction the whole time, which, by the way, actually has made people very angry when they read it because it's
a genre. Dan has no experience with this.
Yes. And I'm sure you can speak to of one. It is very creatively satisfying to do. But I even knew when I realized what the theme of this book was actually going to be, that it was going to be an unnerving and upsetting experience for the reader. Because you thought I was leading you into one story and you're very much not being led into that story. And people, I do get why people go into a book and expect one genre, and you don't get that. But I had written multiple drafts of Into the Light and was, you know, I'd figured out voice. I thought I had figured out structure, but I was having this problem with the two main characters where I was very frustrated because they just sounded a little too similar.
Mm.
And what was it about the two of them that made them different enough to warrant this being a book? I had my meaning before I started the book, or I had my meaning before I even started outlining or brainstorming. I knew what the theme was before I started drafting. So I felt very secure in what I was about to do. But then when I was actually writing these two narrators, something wasn't right. They felt disjointed. They felt angular. I was like, they're not clashing in ways that are interesting. They're clashing in a way that's just upsetting. Why can't I get them to be what I want them to be? And it was in a conversation I was having on the phone with my editor where I said something very similar, like, they cannot be what I want them to be. And I was like, oh, that's actually the theme. The theme is of this whole thing of why I'm struggling with this is it is a book about religious repression and rejection. It's about two kids who are tricked into conversion therapy and go through very different experiences with it. And the theme that I was struggling to vocalize is, for some people in this world, you'll never be good enough. And I just was sitting there and I'm like, I'm doing it now where I'm saying they're not good enough and they aren't fitting the mold that I want them to. And I'm like, oh my God, that's it. And I mean, unfortunately, I had that moment where I was on the phone with my editor, Miriam Weinberg at Tora, where she's like, you're gonna have to rewrite the whole thing, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah. And this is the third rewrite. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to, but I know what it is. And the way I figured out how to, without spoiling it, was it required something extremely bombastic and very, very speculative fiction. But, and I'm curious to hear too, for people who've had this, that moment of like, oh, it's right. This is it. This, I'm exactly where I need to be.
Yeah. I shared with a student yesterday morning. They were talking about, you know, the necessity for rewrites. And I said, yeah, I've got bad news for you. If you love having written, finding that you need to rewrite the whole thing is terrible. But if you actually love to write, the opportunity to make this discovery and go back and rewrite it can be a joy.
Yeah.
Because now you get to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
With, at least for me, this sort of like infectious certainty.
You get to do it better. You get
where you have less doubt as you're making decisions, and then you get to commit even more because you feel good about the decision that you've made.
I've talked about this a little bit before, but I've had this experience with three of the John Cleaver works, 4, 5, and then in between them, a novella called Next of Kin, which I think of as my my basically Alzheimer's trauma books because they were about memory. The kind of basic underlying premise of the John Cleaver series is that there are monsters who lack something and they steal it from us. And I wanted to have one who didn't have his own memories, and so he had to take ours and does that by, you know, and does that in order to survive. And realized very quickly once I started writing that I was trauma dumping my grandfather's Alzheimer's experience all over the readers. And I, you know, then had that moment of, well, I need to go back and make this a little more palatable and a little more acceptable, but also, wow, I didn't realize that that's what this book was about. And it absolutely, that's what this book is about. That's what all three of those books are about, is me trying to work through my own history with loss of memory and the impermanence that that creates in your life and for the other people around you. And having that experience halfway through really changed how I saw what those books were and what their theme was.
All right. Well, if we have answered for you the question about what theme and meaning are and how they are different from each other, please let me know, because I still am not confident in that, but I'm okay with not being confident in it. I feel like this is a place where the definitions we each come up with for ourselves are the things that are going to steer us, the things that are going to function as the lens of why. And I have a homework for you, which should be fun. Take a popular book-to-film or book-to-TV adaptation and ask yourself if the film changed the meaning or changed the theme of the book. and then ask yourself in what ways it did it. This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends.
Your hosts for this episode of Writing Excuses were Mary Robinette Kowal, Howard Taylor, and Dan Wells, with special guest Mark Oshiro.
This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy 2 or 3 select major appliances. And when you buy 4 or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.